Bushcraft Adventures, episode 238. And a topic that's been, we have debated at great length ourselves and not necessarily on the channel, and I thought we could talk about it, is how much rain's too rain? You know yourself, Ben, when I brought this idea up to you, you responded back, did you guys are getting a lot of rain on your end? And I'm sitting here thinking, the same situation. I'm supposed to have a camping trip coming up this weekend with one of our buddies there, Steve, and there's a significant amount of rain coming. And I'm trying to decide, where do I draw that line between, okay, that's just a little too much for the time that I'm going to have there, versus, screw it, it's just getting a little bit wet. You know what I mean? And there's a lot that goes into that decision. You know what I mean? I don't think people realize, once you get a little experience under your belt, that changes significantly, I think, is what I'm trying to get at with this. Anyway, it's kind of story time, and what's the word I'm looking for here? Philosophizing. You know what I mean? Because there is going to be no right answer to this. This is going to be opinionative, but maybe there'll be a tidbit of education in this for somebody out there. If nothing else, maybe a few laughs and a couple chuckles.
Agreed. how much is too much? That's extremely circumstantial. And by that, I mean you have to look at your circumstances. Are you hiking?
Well, for me in my situation, the biggest circumstance, and I guess this is where I would start, is what is your highest priority on the trip you're going to take? So for me, this trip here, our youngest one, Lily, she's really wanting to go camping. You know what I mean? And I really want to take her camping, but I want to make sure that first time is an enjoyable one, and how much rain is going to start making that unenjoyable for her. Because I don't want her to say, oh, camping sucks, you know what I mean, and get a real bad taste in her mouth for it, because that'll affect her down the road. I've known people that have had one or two bad camping trips, and now they just hate camping. They refuse to give it another try. Every time they've gone camping, it's been horrible. The whole two times they've gone, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't want to start that snowball effect, so I'm trying to decide where I should draw the line. If you and I were going out, it's going to be a much higher threshold of what we're willing to tolerate.
True. 100% true. I think the things you have to keep in mind is what activities are you planning when you're going? What equipment are you taking? And what the actual overall trip is looking like. So, for instance, if I'm going for 3 days and it's calling for rain all day one day, I really want to consider where I'm going to be and what I'm going to be doing while I'm doing it. But so let's assume you're going with your daughter, so I assume you're not walking far.
Nope, this will be a drive-up location. So for this hypothetical that we're doing here, hypothetical real, I am going to have the benefit that I'm going to have my truck. I can literally take the kitchen sink with me if I so desire.
So right away, when I'm thinking of Lily and I'm thinking, okay, what can you do? You can take a tablet or a phone and sit her in the truck if she gets bored. And she can keep herself very occupied in the cab of that vehicle, watching movies and playing games.
Yes, and I don't disagree that in the slightest. But at what point here's the situation I'm dealing with, and I'm sure Danny's joined us here in the comments too. How's it going, Danny? Maybe you can weigh in on this too, because I know you have family, you've been camping with family and stuff like that. So what's your thoughts on this? So for me, as I'm sure most of our listeners know, and most of our viewers, because Lily has come in and out, Lily does have autism. She's going to be 8 years old here in December. So, I mean, she's not a tiny child. She's not a, you know, teenager either. She does have some sensory issues in there. So I got to balance all this out. But the reality is, the weekend we're looking at, it's a Saturday, Sunday. We're only going to spend one night, Saturday night. We are meeting up with some friends, Steve, that joins us here in the comments quite often, him, potentially his wife and daughter. We're all trying to make a group event. That way there's people there for her to talk to. It's an exciting experience and all this good stuff. But it's supposed to rain like 25 to 30 millimeters on Saturday all day. And then Sunday is like another 20 mils. It's not supposed to stop raining from Friday night until Sunday evening.
So, like I said, you got to break it down. And the beauty of having the vehicle, though, is there is a, when you're doing stuff and you, you want to keep her sort of dry and clean, there's a spot she can go that's secure. You can also take a good tarp and cover off an area similar to we did at the lake for our mm-hmm. bushcraft weekend, and protect yourself in the rain and still have a good campfire. So if you have those two things, then the rain adds to the situation, and I would not be too worried on those two fronts. The third front, and this is extremely important, what is your sleeping situation supposed to be? Because if you're sleeping on the ground and you wake up in 3 inches of water, that's not enjoyable. But if you can get yourself off the ground, or if you have like a hill system where all the water is draining away from your tent and you know that it's going to stay dry, then that adds to that situation. One of the things we've recently gotten is, we've been testing, we haven't figured out which one we like the best yet, are cots. And that'll keep us 3 to 4 inches off. And some of them have legs that can keep us like a foot off the ground. That has a huge advantage in situations where the ground might get wet and soft and mushy.
And for this, and this is the same question that Danny asked there, so obviously it's a big concern for most people as well. For us, we are planning to tent camp. That is what Lily wanted to do. Now, we do have air mattresses. So Melissa and I would be sharing a queen-size air mattress that's like at least six inches thick. So we're going to be sitting off the ground. Water coming in on the bottom. Yes, it may be inconvenient for our gear, but us, we should remain relatively dry, regardless of where we set up. Hopefully we can set up on a, you know, little higher area and water shouldn't be an issue anyway. But even if there was, both us and Lily would be on air mattresses. Lily may actually even be on a cot now that you mentioned it. We do have a traveling cot that I can take, put her air mattress on top of it. And now she's a good 12 inches off the bottom. Water would no longer be an issue for her, period. Yep. But my concern with this, and I'm sure other people out there that have thought about this and their kids and whatnot, is, yes, she can play on her tablet a little bit, but then if all she's doing is playing on her tablet, is she going to enjoy the experience of camping any more than just sitting in a room and playing with her tablet? You know what I mean?
It, you know, with kids, in my opinion, and this is an interesting one, because some people say, oh, you're going out in the woods and you're letting your kid play with electronics the whole time. But again, your goal, keep in mind your long-term goal, is to make sure she enjoys the experience of camping. And so if that means that while she's out there, she's getting a little bit more electronics time and she still enjoys it, later on, she'll still associate camping with an enjoyable activity. So it's a backup in case her alternative is she wants to run around by the lake or run into the forest, and you realize it's muddy, it's wet, it's dirty, and her clothes will be dirty, she's going to be wet, she's going to be cold, she'll be miserable. At least you have an out, something she can do. And so she can sit in a truck, she can set up a little fort in the back if she wants, and she can be very comfortable there. And that'll allow you guys to do activities and stuff, and at least prep stuff up. So once you get the tent set up, you should have a dry, safe spot. You get your tarp set up, you have a dry, safe spot. Then she can come out. When you're having a fire and she's roasting things, and you know, you can make different foods and stuff, there should be a part of it. You can do activities inside those areas. You can play. Maybe bring some small games that you guys can play, or be interactive. And so you can get away from the electronics. But that temporary diversion really helps. And the fact that you have a complete out with the vehicle, because that really does help. Then I would say that I would put up with quite a bit of rain. Now I'm only really worried about A, flooding. You know, is the flooding risk going to be there? And the temperature, like if we've said it before, I'll be wet, I'll be cold, but I'll be damned if I'm wet and cold.
And for Saturday, not a bad run. Saturday's supposed to be 22 degrees. That's not terribly cold, you know what I mean?
No.
It is a weather front coming in from the south, so it's going to bring a little bit of warmer temperatures and waters with it anyway. Then overnight, it's not terrible. Once again, I think the low is like 13, which overnight in October, over in Eastern Canada, that's really not that bad either. Funny enough, when you and I went camping out back the lake, that was just this time 4 years ago. So we know it's very doable, and we know the temperature went down fairly low at that point too. And we were comfortable, and it's supposed to be higher than that. Like I said, 12, 13 degrees. So I have no fear for Saturday and Saturday overnight. Sunday itself is going to be cooler. I think the high is only going to be like 10 or 11 degrees. But the reality is that means the temperature is going to drop as the day goes on. We're probably packing up and getting ready to get out of there anyway, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that sounds good. That seems doable. So I think so far, everything we've said is it still looks like a fairly doable weekend. Your question is how much rain is too rain. Let's go back to that overall concept. So scenario one, because we're talking about bushcrafted, but we know that's a broad spectrum. So if you're doing like trailer camping, and this could be like a little teardrop trailer or maybe even one with just the kitchen outside, and you just have a sleeping area, to something that's like a basically a mobile home that's drivable, any of these things, at that case, again, the only thing I would be worried about is, this flooding a risk, and am I going to put myself in a situation where I risk all my gear and myself? So if that's not a case, then yeah, you can pretty well camp year round with that setup and not worry about rain too much. You can have indoor activities that you can deal with. Next is kind of what you're doing, and that's your car camping. So you have a lot of equipment. You can take a couple of big tarps. You can build some pretty good rain-free areas. Just make sure that your location offers safe haven. And by that, we mean sloping land, so water won't sit and you just be in a puddle. High enough that if the water nearby, because we almost always camp near lakes and rivers, that the flooding, you know, immediate water is limited. And then the personalities of the people you're traveling with. And honestly, I don't think Lily is your biggest risk there. Not that I'm knocking anyone else that you know is going, but it's just like, would, if they're all wet, going to be less enjoyable? And then if they're going to be down, that everyone's mood will move down. So just make sure that the people you're going with are positive people, because in that case, they'll all make the best of it. You know, you're probably going to take a couple of adult beverages. You're probably going to have a couple of games, maybe some cards, maybe some throwing games, whatever. If you can find something to keep yourselves entertained and laugh and joke about, then yeah, fire under a tarp and listen to the rain hit the tarp and the tent can be a very enjoyable and fun experience. Next, hiking.
Yeah, actually real good advice there, Ben. Danny was saying that as well. And for this situation I'm talking of, you know where I'm going. It was the same spot that you and your family and Steve and I had all gone the last time, simply because there's an outhouse location there. And we did want to bring the boat and do a little bit of boating. Because she's been really after getting out for a canoe trip this year, just because of my new job and stuff like that. We have had very little time to get out in the boat, and she's really wanting to get out. And I mean, she's been asking since the start of summer. So I'm pretty determined to get her out as well, which is another factor working into this. I am willing to push a little further simply to try and get her out for a tour. But now I have to, and I guess this is the biggest thing that brought on this whole conversation, is I got to temper me and what I think is fine with what's realistic to other people's expectations as well.
So now you've introduced two things that I think we really need to address. You've mentioned boating. Boating in the rain has its own challenges. And we know the location, because the location is the last point I see my good Sil Nylon tarp in good shape.
Yep.
Because the wind did damage it on that trip. So we know it's a windy location. And is the weather at that time also calling for heavier winds?
Winds not so high. We have Matt Wosley joining us here. Hello, guys. Just took a few minutes to say hello. And I will watch this when I get home from work. Looking forward to it. So, hey, Matt, thanks for joining us, bud. Hopefully when you get home and you check this out, it's at least some decent entertainment for you. Thanks once again for joining us. The wind's not planning to be screaming high, not like when we were there. It's not that bad. You know what I mean? If it was that bad, I'd probably pull the plug. It's not that bad. Not that high of winds. It's a little later in the season, too. So the wind's coming from a different direction. When we were out there, well, the wind was coming off the lake. And now it's going to be coming more from the woods side. So we are going to have a little bit of shelter on that. Now, that's only for the sleeping arrangements. As we're out on the lake, As you know, that's a fairly big lake. Once we get across a little bit, the trees are going to offer zero protection, which could potentially make getting back to land a little bit more of a challenge. But that's one of those things I think I can circumvent a little by just sticking to the shorelines. We may not go out in the center of the lake, but if we stick to the shorelines, the wind shouldn't be that much of an issue. I think we're talking like maybe 20 to 30 kilometer an hour gusts and maybe like 15 kilometer an hour sustained. So not terribly high.
Yeah, I think it's manageable. Again, we do know that out on that point where we had the fire last time, the winds would be more than even inside the parking area. The other thing is like where you had set up.
Not the best place to set up. Yeah, I know what you're getting at, Ben.
But with a tent, you do have a couple of things. Like, you more or less set up where you had parked.
Yeah.
I don't think you could set up where me and Skylar were set up. Although, if you could, that's almost an ideal location.
Oh, you mean that little offshoot in the woods there where you guys are up on the hill? That would be amazing. But like you said, the tent that we're taking, probably too big for that area. If it was just Mel and I and we're doing the micro tent, maybe get away with it. But we're talking like, I think it's a 6 or 8 person tent. I bought this specifically on Lily's whim because this is the one she wanted to go camping in.
No, 100%. And we have a similar style tent that I suspect you have, and you know, it's great. It's ours is 2 room. It gives us some comfort when we go as a family and we're doing car trips, and we plan on continuing using it for certain events. Downside of a big tent like that, and it's one thing, it's you're not hiking it in anywhere.
No,
reasonably. And if it's not a set campsite, the likelihood of finding a flat level area that you can set it up close to nil, like other than meadows and farmers' fields.
And here's what brings us to the location of choice is because this sucker is so hard to set up. And it's the only big open area that I could think of that was drive up ready because, as you said, we're not carrying this tent any amount of distance, though it's not as terrible as other 8-person tents I've seen. I'm pretty sure ours is a 6-person tent. It's not a massive package, but it's way more than I want to hike any distance with. You know what I mean? We're talking maybe 3.5 feet long by 8 inches square kind of deal. You know what I mean? Like, it's not tiny.
No. No, I mean, yeah, the one I have isn't ridiculous. I could carry it a ways, but I mean, it would mean that I'm not carrying something else. It's not quite the size of my full pack, but it's big enough that it would probably be have to
exactly. And this is where it comes in, and specifically when you're family camping and other things that folks out there may want to consider is the more people you're taking. If these people are all sleeping in the one shelter, somebody's going to carry that shelter. You know what I mean? So now somebody's job specifically is to carry that shelter, and more often than not, that means old Roberto is now carrying his pack plus a shelter. You know what I mean?
But let's talk about this, though, because one of the things that you have to keep in mind with a larger shelter that can house, say, 6 people, is normally when you make a backpacking trip, you have 6 people carrying their own individual shelter. Or at least in a 6-person trip, 3 people carrying a shelter that they're going to share with someone else. And usually there's an offset. So some of your gear could go in other people's packs and you just carrying a bigger shelter. And then all of a sudden no one else is carrying a shelter. So that could work out in a theory. Like, there is a point, I think you could use one of those on a bigger trip, especially with a canoe or something, being part of the function. That is obviously a great location. I do have a question.
Sure.
Are there provincial parks still open? And I think the answer is actually yes.
I believe they're still open potentially until the end of the month.
Some of them I know are open quite a bit later in the year. Waccamaw is one that I've often traveled to around this time of year. And it's a beautiful campsite, and that's often an option you can go with. not suggesting you're like Dollar Lake sometimes stays open later. You can check the website. But the beauty of those is you would have a pad big enough for most large tents. And you have a few additional amenities you can get to, like you mentioned, the showers. When I did Waitagama, the nice thing is they actually have a washer and dryer. Now, the washer, nice to have. The dryer, if you get your clothes wet on wet trips, is absolutely phenomenal. So we were moose hunting for a week in Waitagama. I did this a couple of times, actually. And yeah, at the end of the night, when we got back after walking through the woods for a full day and you're sweaty and dirty and tired and cranky, you take your dirty clothes, you walk over to the room and you wash them and you throw them in the dryer and you get nice, clean, fresh clothes for the next day. And it's so exciting.
So I'm just happened to be checking the local parks around here and all the way to Halifax. Most of them closed October 9th, unfortunately.
Yeah. A lot of them do for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But I thought there may be a chance to open. The other thing is there's two provincial or national parks.
Mm-hmm.
And Highlands is an awesome place. And that's often open later just for tenting. And so I've done that one.
And those are options too. Like I said, the only good thing about this one, and now that you've mentioned provincial parks, would be the drive up availability and the extra amenities. In this one specifically, there's an outhouse because Lily does have an aversion to going to use the washroom in any way, shape, or form outside. And if I had got to one of the provincial parks, like Dollar Lake, for instance, that you had mentioned, showers would be nice. Because at that stage, if you did get a chill or something like that, you're way less reliant on having to make a fire to get everybody warmed up. They can literally just go take a warm shower and break that chill. And that means a lot, too, especially when you're going in cold or wetter weather.
Well, 100%. It means a ton. I really have enjoyed that. One night, I can definitely go without my shower or a good cleaning method, but you know, you get into multi-night trips, having some option to deal with that. And it can be as little as some wet wipes to make sure that you're clean and stuff. But showers do have an advantage. And at this time of year, heating up water and showering outside can be tricky. You're going to get cold pretty quick.
Hmm.
So, yeah, an option. The other thing that sometimes is often open, not often my favorite, but even the KOAs are open sometimes later in the year.
Yeah.
And again, enough room to set up a tent, sheltered area, and amenities are there. So we did a KOA a little while ago, and exactly that was the reason we chose KOA the weekend before last, was because we booked it a month and a half in advance. We were going for 5 nights, and I said, we could take the tent. And we really considered it, but I said, if it's calling for rain for 5 days, we are going to be miserable. And so we debated it and said, we can rent this cabin, stay there, know that we're clean and dry, take a couple of card games and a few things, and all it offers is beds. There's not even a table in the building. But it was a base of operations and a go. And sometimes, you know, when you're taking kids, when you're taking, you're accommodating other people, it's acceptable.
Yeah, no. And you actually got me thinking about something now. Instead of the KOAs, back where we went on our summer vacation, those domes. Same kind of deal as a KOA, don't get me wrong, but the domes, Lily's been really interested in getting down to the domes, and that now stops meaning anything when it comes to weather, because those places are entirely indoors. They do have a private bathroom, private shower, but they are also group camping accessible, if that makes any kind of sense. Like, you could, there's three of them in the location I'm thinking of. There's multiple locations, but three people could book the three different domes. And I do know this place has some, generally there's certain stipulations if you are booking an individual dome, but if you book all three, they remove a lot of the stipulations and stuff like that and give you a lot more freedom. So instead of having to stay to your own little campsite, you can intermingle more. The group at open area they have becomes more accessible and things like that, right? So that might be another option too, though, of course, a little bit more money. Now, financial ties come into that, but it's still an interesting idea.
It's something to consider. When you're looking at adverse weather, I mean, you can man it up and say, oh, yeah, you got to do it. And honestly, like, what I was about to say is, if it was me and you, I would still suggest, hell with it, let's do this cabin way in the back of the woods, or let's hike 10 miles. Because, you know, honestly, I don't care if I make you miserable, and you don't care if I'm a little miserable. And we'll take a couple of hammocks, and we'll sit there in a fire, and in the middle of the night, we'll have a couple of whiskeys, and we'll laugh about it while carving.
Huddle around the fire while you're making sprites to terrify me while I get up to take a leak. Yeah, I know how this story goes.
Right? But you know, like, it's 100% true. Like, if somebody shows weakness when it's just a bunch of guys, we just make fun of it, and it's a joke, and we continue on.
And I do, once again, getting back to this, and any kind of weather, not even just rain on this one, the group of people you go with, which you alluded to right from the start, is a major changing point in how that trip is going to go. If you and I go into the woods, guaranteed we're going to push each other further than we would do individually. Because now we have not only the ribbing and jousting that's going to be involved in some good-natured, you know, teasing and stuff, but we also have that security blanket. If I got somebody else with me that knows what they're doing in the woods, I am way more apt to push myself harder because I know I have somebody with a good skill set behind them that's got my back if something goes wrong. Or at least we're going to be screwed together. Between the two of us, we're going to come up with something where we're not going to die. You know what I mean? We may not be comfortable, but we ain't going to die.
No. I mean, I fully understand. And I think that's something that's really important we consider is think of the group comfort, think of the challenges you have, and make sure that you're accommodating everyone. You know, what I would do for myself or what I would do with a couple of my buddies is obviously quite a bit different than what I would do with my daughters. And I got two of my daughters are less keen on backwoods camping. So when I have to take them, I often will, you know, and some people may say I don't compromise much, but I do. I compromise the trip I would have taken to be the trip that I think they might enjoy. So, you know, we might pay for a site where before I would just go with a free site that's more available. Or we might choose a location that's close to something that would give them some amenities so that if it's miserable, we can run into town and grab something. So the site you guys are talking about is only 10 minutes from a town. So if you know, you're absolutely miserable, you can say, okay, frigate, we're all going to run in and grab a piece of pizza and have a, you know.
Well, see, I've even taken it further than that. There's actually the town we're talking about. There's a small motel there that has vacancies on the weekend that we're going to be camping. I have a major contingency plan here.
So I don't know if we've ever had this story, but one of the worst camping trips I've ever taken, and this could come back and bite me somehow. Years ago, we had a pop-up camper, and we've talked about that briefly on here before. And we had some friends that said, oh, we love camping too. And I'm like, oh, cool. And so we talked about our likes and dislikes. And I said, what I really dislike is field camping. I don't like camping in a field where everyone's surrounding me, and I don't feel like I have privacy. If I'm going to camp at a campground, I much prefer to get one of the more private sites. So I generally go with provincial campgrounds because they have slightly bigger lots than most privately. But we chose a private campground because it actually has decent sites. And the other couple said, don't worry about it, we will book the sites, just let us pay us when you get there. So perfectly fine, not a problem. So they send us the sites, and I'm looking at the number, and I'm like, this doesn't feel right. So we show up at the campsite, and it's right in the middle of the field, like smack dab in the middle. They're like, well, yeah, we hate field camping too, but you can see the playground, and that was really important to us, so the kids can go and play at the playground and stuff. And I'm like, oh, you know, I hate this. This is miserable, but okay, I'll put up with it. And lo and behold, this is the Ovens, for anyone who's aware of it. It's actually a pretty good private campground. I'm not knocking the Ovens, but it's, you can do some gold panning, and they got these caves, and the waves go into them, make these huge booms like a cannon. Have you ever been there?
I have been. I've never camped, but I've been for, you know, like a day trip.
Yeah. So not a bad place to camp. And they have cabins they rent. So anyways, while we're camping there, a hurricane comes in. Now, I'm not joking. We had like 100 plus kilometer winds. We were in a canvas pop-up trailer. And at one point, I can remember putting my hands on the canvas and pushing on it. And it was like pushing on a solid board. And the trailer started to come apart, like this the way the fabric is locked into the steel rails, it's just like a sewn French seam style thing that's just snapped in place. If enough force is put on it, it'll come apart. Yeah. Sort of like a Ziploc bag will open if you put enough force on it. So it was failing. And so I'm looking at the wife and I'm looking at the camper and I'm like, okay, we can't do this. So we have to fix this. So the decision was made to start pulling the thing down. And so once we got it down to a certain point that we considered it now secure, so okay, let's figure out what we're going to do. So we're talking to the other couple and said, let's go. They have cabins. Let's see what the cost of that is. So we walk over. It's only about 45 minutes from the in-laws. Yeah. So we walk over and we knock on the door and we go into the head office building there. I asked the lady, I said, you guys have cabins? She said, yeah. And I said, how much are they to rent? She said, oh, they're like $300. I was like, holy shit. So I'm not interested. This was 20 years ago. I was broke as hell. And so I said, okay, not a problem. I walked away and we got about halfway back to the trailer and she comes running out the door and she said, but wait, I was going to tell you guys can have it for free. I was like, okay. So
that's the price I like.
I was probably good to 80, maybe even 100, but that was like my absolute limit. Free was the ideal. So we finished strapping the trailers down. We pushed them off to the side so they're not in the way and they're not going to like actually leave the ground, because I was worried. And we went up and parked the trucks at the cabin and we went in. I mean, this cabin needed a little bit of work, but it was clean and dry and offered us, you know, a much better night's sleep than the trailers were going to be for that night. And we survived. But yeah, how much rain is too much? It's too much when the field started to flood and the trailer started blowing over from the wind. That was absolutely too much for that situation.
And that brings into another important point that we've talked about or danced around here tonight is it just rain? Is there going to be wind? Is there thunder? Is there other stuff coming along with it? You know what I mean? Because as you said, it's fine to be wet or it's fine to be cold. It sucks to be wet and cold. And it's fine for a little bit of wind. And it's fine for a little bit of rain, but yeah. Heavy wind and rain also sucks, even if you're warm. Like, you got to weigh all your options into this, and especially you hit the nail on the head here. Weigh everybody's options that's going. And that is, for my situation, another factor that does kind of play a large part into this. I do know one of the other individuals is fairly competent out in the woods because we have camped out with them before. I know Melissa can handle herself in the woods too. The other folks, I know they have some skill in the woods. I don't know how to base it off of that because it's third-party information at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And especially when you're talking about being in the woods, sometimes third-party information can be a little dangerous.
Yeah, and keep in mind, too, like, if you end up with rain, cold, and heavy winds, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're sleeping in a hammock, a tent, a tarp on the ground, or even a trailer. At some point, it could be too much. And if you start to have, like, failure of equipment due to the weather, that can be a pretty harrowing experience in the middle of the night. Like, if you wake up and all your tent pegs have now released and the only thing keeping your tent physically where it's to is you.
I haven't been in that situation. Only on my own small tent. And you are right. Yeah. That is very unnerving.
Yeah. And I mean, at that point, you know, picture, it's pitch dark. It's raining outside. Your tent's now trying to roll you somewhere where you weren't before. And now you have no choice but to try and find your way out of this thing that the zipper's not even where you think it should be anymore. And when you get out, know that you could be losing all your equipment because it could take off.
And then you got to start weighing the options. Is it better just to try and hunker down and wait it out? Get to the upwind side, plunk yourself down, come to the terms that you're probably going to get wet and beaten half to death by the tent whipping you. Just to keep your gear.
Yeah. I mean, I have been in a couple of times where rain and wind have threatened my life. I had a cabin. I was working on the roof one time. We had it covered in a big tarp. And in the middle of the night, again, hurricane-type winds, heavy rain, I hear snap, 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 snap. I wasn't in the cabin. I was in a different building. And I was like, oh, no, that does not sound good. So I get out in the middle of the night, I get the flashlight, and I flash the light over towards it, and I, sure enough, one corner of the tarp's like going. It's just slapping against the cabin. I'm like, it's going to hook into something. It's going to pull the remainder roof off that building. It's probably going to destroy something. I have to deal with it. So now, in the middle of the night, like 12:30 at night, I'm down there, like, I kid you not, I can't even make this up. I'm in my underwear. I'm climbing up a ladder with a knife in my teeth, just like, you know, some kind of pirate. And I'm slicing ropes and just letting the tarp go. Like, I don't care anymore. Like,
it's gotta go.
And I gather the whole thing up. And my wife's at the bottom, like, holding the ladder so it doesn't blow away. Like, it was rough. I mean, you know, I think this was a 30 by 50 tarp. Like, this was a big tarp. And that is terrifying. Like, it doesn't take a lot of kilometer hour winds to make up a 50 foot.
To make that a sail and potentially you attached to it. The bigger area you have, and I know basic eye rolling physics here, the bigger area of tarp you have, the less wind it takes to make you airborne with said tarp. So we got Dave joining us over here, Real Big Monkey One. I once woke up in a hammock in the middle of 3 inches. 3 inch deep lake. It was all dry land the night before. And I think, as bushcrafters, we all know or have had an experience like this. And we've talked about the one here just in Nova Scotia. Fellow on a bicycle. He was out tenting. In the middle of the night, he decided to set up his tent along one of our rivers here. The problem is we have some of the highest lifting tides in North America, if not the world. So Buddy went to sleep. Everything was good and dandy and woke up. He was literally floating down the river, was he not?
Yeah. Well, the guy in Truro?
Yeah.
No, well, he was floating, yeah. He did. It was a small boat.
Yeah. And the funny thing was, he had said, if I had tasted the grass the night before, I would have noticed it was salty. Do you know what I mean? We all go, why would you taste the grass? But it wasn't, I don't think he meant like licking the grass. If he had using his hands and had somehow got his hands around his mouth and tasted the salt, he might have clued in. Because this we are experienced with. As we're working at night, you know, you bang your finger, you stick it in your mouth. Oh, wow, wow, why is that salty? I'm next to a river. He might have clued in, but literally everything went up super smooth for him. And he even said this in his interview. And all was good. He was like, holy crap, I found this nice open area to set a tent up. I'm surprised nobody else is here. And yeah, he found out why nobody else was there.
He said he did taste the grass, and he noticed it was salty, and he didn't think about it.
Oh, okay. I knew it's something about salt with the grass.
And he said, you know, like, who tastes grass? I did. I'm weird. I'm, you know, get over it. But, yeah, like, he was kind of – he had the hints that it was a bad idea, but he was tired. It was dark, and it was, I think, starting to rain or something, and he just wanted to get out of it. So he made the decision to set up on the tidal area of the river, and as such, paid the price, I guess.
And what like, swear, folks, this is a true story. You can Google this stuff. Google Truro, Nova Scotia, man wakes up in river. You'll find it.
I actually looked it up a few months ago and showed someone that article because they. As like, you know, this stuff happens. So it's and I think he said that the good thing is mech tarps do actually, like, the bathtub in the bottom is actually waterproof. It was dry inside.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was an amazing review of the gear he was using. And I love that in most of the comments, when you look up this article, it was a, like, you could pick out the bushcrafters. So what tent were you using? Was that the mech, you know, whatever series? Like, you could pick out the people that were there, like, okay, that sucks, but what I hear is that's a good tent.
Yeah, 100%, right? We know that that's where meeting your mind went. It's like, oh, yeah. Yeah. What did we learn? You can carry it on a bicycle, so it's basically lightweight.
I mean, this guy was doing, like, ultralight camping, and this thing was pretty much waterproof.
Yeah,
I'm sold. That's a glowing review, in my opinion.
That's a good example of things. But sometimes you're traveling, you don't have a choice. Like, the reality is, when we plan a trip, we can plan or hope for good weather, and we have a choice. When we look at the weather and it comes closer, do we Do we go or do we cancel it? And honestly, this is the thing I'm going to say to you. I have more often regretted, and this is why I've rarely done this, canceling a trip and in the weather turning out not as bad as I expected, than I have ever gone ahead and done the trip and said, that was absolutely horrible, I shouldn't have done it.
I was just going to say, and this is kind of where I'm at with my whole thought on this is, because of the rain, I'm going to plan day trip. You know what I mean? Day trip with all the stuff to turn into an overnight trip if necessary. And basically go, we'll do our little boating trip. We'll see how things go. And if it seems like it's getting okay, then the tent and all that's always there. And we can just set up. You know what I mean? I got the truck. Taking the stuff is not that big a deal. Leaving it on back is not that big a deal. But not taking it, and then we go for a little boating trip, and, you know, maybe the weather turns drastically there, and it just stops raining. And we have nothing to stay there. I mean, I'd be fine. I'd sleep under the canoe and laugh my guts out. But that's going to be pretty tight for three people, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's one of those things. Maybe I'm trying to push it a little too far, and that's what got the old thoughts going, because I have the voice of reason, of course, saying, well, if it's going to rain that much, is there any sense going? Well, she's going to be miserable. And I'm like, I'm willing to push that envelope a little bit. Because the reality is, even at this, I'm only an hour, hour and a half from home. Yeah, it's going to suck to have to pack up at 12 o'clock and drive home. But the reality is, I can do it. It's not like I got to travel for 3 days.
You said you can. There is a motel available within 20 minutes. So you have bug out options. In fact, I know for a fact that I have a buddy in the area that I could probably call up in the last minute. He would say, yeah, come on over and crash my garage if nothing else.
And this is the other thing I have, and I don't want to get down this rabbit hole too much openly, but I do have a secondary backup plan that there is a cabin not far from the location that I have access to.
Yeah.
And I don't want to touch too much more on it than that. Steve will know what I'm talking about. So I kind of have like almost triple backup redundancies. And if crap goes bad, I've planned a lot of contingencies. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. But then I'm also like, I always have that nagging voice in the back of my mind. Well, maybe I'm pushing this too hard and this is going to make people not like it. But that could also be paranoia.
Yeah, it could be. But I mean, I think you have your bases covered. I'm just trying to think of trips I went on where we had like ridiculous rain. And so I had a trip to Gros Morne, possibly some of the heaviest rain I was in, definitely the top four. And when we took the tent trailer down, it rained so hard, I was soaked through and through. Like there wasn't a dry spot on my body. I could jump in a lake and I don't think I'd be wetter.
That's a good rain.
I think I said, I looked at my wife after we were finished and I said, it was almost like the rain was coming up as much as it was coming down. Have you ever felt like that? Like
I have been in a rainstorm like that. It was a hurricane. Well, post-tropical storm. It was when I worked with Natural Resources and it was coming off the ocean and we were trying to secure outhouses of all things. And I remember thinking the exact same thing. I was so wet, I actually didn't know what direction the rain was coming from. All I knew was I was wet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know. It kind of felt like the rain was coming from the back of me, but then, like, it just seemed like it was coming from everywhere.
It was like if you had an umbrella, you'd still be just as wet.
Yeah, no, like, it didn't matter. If you went under something, it didn't matter. You were still getting rained on.
Yeah, everything was soaked. The underside of the bed was soaked. You know, the part slides. I didn't have that could happen. It just didn't make sense. But we got it all shut up. We got it closed. And we said, okay, we're going to go to the next location. It's supposed to be sunny in a day or two, and we'll dry everything out. And that was our only choice. When we were finished, we had all our clothes, like our dry clothes and stuff, into the I think it was a truck we had at the time, probably with a cap. And we went to the information center, went in the bathroom and rechanged because there was no way we could go any further with those clothes on. So that was, you know what? In the end, it was just a great story.
And that's the thing. Some of these things turn out to be great stories. So from the comments here, we got Dave. When camping by a river, he just used his inflatable kayak as a bed. And I've actually had one of these on the list of things I want to pick up for a while. It was actually Ben that got me onto these inflatable kayaks. And I'm just waiting for the right one to go on sale because I am a little fluffier than the average human. And I need something that's going to keep my fluff out of the water. And then we have Matt. It rains every time I go camping, anywhere from a shower to 9 inches in severe thunderstorms, but never hurricane force winds like Ben. And I, you know what? Same kind of deal. Everybody that I know, at least, has that crazy wind story, right? Like that was a bad one. You almost lost a trailer over it. That's a bad one. But I mean, I have been in that situation, like you said, where you're laying in a tent and all the tank stags pull out and it's just you holding it down. And you're trying to decide if you bail out or try and tough it out. Because if you bail out, you lose everything. And if you tough it out, you could literally, like, it could blow you away. Not like it's going to pick you up and throw you off into the air, but it could blow you down a hill or something like that. You are fighting it 100% of the time to try and stay in it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what. The type of equipment that I'm in will definitely affect how hard I'll push it. Because my big 8-man tent or 10-man tent, like my big one that I have for using in campgrounds, I know it wouldn't take a lot of wind to make that an absolutely miserable stay because it has 6-foot by 8-foot walls. And so wind hits that, it's gonna move. It's too big. There's no amount of tie straps you can get.
And they're generally tall, which is the same thing I'm dealing with mine, because one of the requirements of having our tent from somebody who will remain nameless was they had to be able to stand up in the middle of it.
Yes. No, understood. Like, I've had tents like that. I've had dome ones. I've had cabin style ones. I still, like, the newest one, I think, is more cabin style. So it's got very vertical sides. It's great. You can stand up almost everywhere in it. You can get changed. You don't have to worry about being on your knees all the time. We love it for what it is. The reality is, if I get 30, 40 kilometer hour winds, I'm starting to get nervous. If I get 100 kilometer hour winds, I know it's coming apart.
That tent is gone, much like the one that I'm talking about here, too. Yeah. If it was any higher than the ones that it's saying, then I would have to rethink the sleeping thing. And this is the other thing. This is the other side of this that I've thought about that nobody agrees with me on is, okay, let's say screw all of it. We're going to take a tarp and we're going to lay a low wedge. Really doesn't matter how much it rains because it's going to shed it off us so fast. The winds no longer matter because a low wedge, as you know, the wind's just going to roll over it. Like, I mean, you kind of got to crawl into it. But once you get in there, it's pretty cozy. I'm sure you've experienced this. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
oh, yeah.
People have likened it to, oh, I can't deal with it because it feels like crawling in a coffin. Well, it's not like crawling in a coffin. It's just that your roof is literally only sitting like 6 inches, 8 inches off your face. But keep in mind, these shelters are incredibly easy to keep warm. Your own body heat generally keeps them fairly warm if you can seal them up pretty good on each end because it just traps that air around you. You're not heating a massive space like in a tent. Two, they actually offer quite a bit of like horizontal space if you pitch them right and you pitch them out far. You can get a significant amount of people under a good sized tarp and everybody, yeah, like now you have all that extra body heat. It's not that bad. The downside is, yeah, it's a pretty small area. You are basically like crawling in and out of these things. I set mine up somewhere around like the 2 feet in the middle. That's a tall one. All the way down as I've gone as low as like 18 inches to where you are basically like belly crawling into this thing. But once you get in there and you go to sleep, man, it is snug as a bug. But yeah, not for everyone. And this is the problem here too. I brought this suggestion up. It was promptly shot back down. So once again, know your crap.
Yeah. The other tent I was going to compare is like the one Tigress, Wild Haven, I think it's called, that I have.
Yep.
It's a teepee style. It's like the wedge one. I mean, I think it is tallest. It might be 6-7 feet tall. Might be. You can't really stand up in it because you can't stay. There's a pole in the way. But when you that's set up, wind tends to go over it. And it'll take a ridiculous wind because it's cured on like 8 different points all the way around. So there's almost any direction the wind comes, there's a guideline sort of guarding that, and it's low enough the wind can't get under and really catch a good hook. And then you get those like one-man tents. I mean, they can take a ton of wind before they become an issue
because they utilize the no flat sides. And for anybody out there wondering what's a good shelter type, if you want it for all around, the one with very few flat sides. So TP style is great because as you have that dome shape, one, the wind doesn't have a big flat side that it can grab. It's going to go around it and up over it, like Ben is saying. So something to keep an eye out for there. The bigger and flatter sides you get, yeah, it adds a little comfort because you can stand up in them, much like Ben and I have been talking about, but it also turns it effectively into a kite. Keep that in mind, folks. That's important for later in life, I guarantee it. Learn from potentially our mistakes.
Yeah, we make them all.
Oh, yeah. I make them several times.
Because we haven't talked about it a lot, but it's one of our favorites, hammocks.
Mm.
So, advantage in rain and wind with a hammock, there's a few of them. One, contrary to your belief, flooding is rarely a risk.
Go to hell, Ben.
And you're the only one I've ever known that nearly drowned in a hemi.
Yeah. There's nothing I can say about that. You're absolutely right. It was just one of those things. I didn't properly set my hammock up, and it came back to bite me in the butt.
Yeah, no, honestly, I have to take some credit for that, too, because I was there and I helped you with some of it. But yeah, in the end, just sheer bad luck and weird coincidence that his underquilt somehow held the water and just encased him in a.
I was genuinely surprised at how much water that underquilt pooled. You know what I mean? I figured it would run out, not pool under it, but it legitimately pooled in it. And then splashed. I started thrashing around in it and thought the lake flooded, but, you know.
So, anyways, yeah. So, I mean, there's that stuff. But when you're setting up a hammock, and you have a lot of things to consider. I mean, obviously, you set up a hammock. If there's expecting wind, I tend to set my hammock lower. I'm tighter, lower to the ground. I set it tighter across so that I can stay nice and low and keep off the ground. Because you do want to avoid the ground in wet conditions, because you don't want the bottom side to get wet, and then your sleeping system gets wet, now you're just miserable. But if you can get that nice, and I'll put my tarp closer to the hammock so that A, it's less likely rain can come in at a weird angle and still get you, and spread it out, and like you see, you get that low cross section, so the wind comes and gets it, you don't get as much buffeting. But if you put it too flat, you are going to get buffeting, so you have to find the right angle, and you have to secure it well. But if you set it well, and it takes practice, and really consider your lay and your angle to where the most likely the wind is, you can set yourself up really comfortable in that. But things to keep in mind, one, don't be in a hollow that might flood, because you could actually legitimately end up in an area where when you wake up, there's no way to get out and be dry. You could wake up over a small pond or lake, that would be miserable. Two, high winds, you are attached to two trees.
Yeah, and those trees move independently of each other as well.
So as you start to tighten up your load and stuff, if those are really high trees, there is a chance that you're going to move around a little bit with that. And if one of those trees decides that I've had enough of this today and let's go, your hammock probably is not holding it in place. So you could end up like on the ground or God forbid, underneath it. Beauty is likelihood of underneath it is pretty slim, because if they're falling towards you, it's going to hit the other tree.
Mm.
And most likely will hang up. But keep that in mind. Make sure you're hooked to good trees. Higher wind, you definitely want bigger trees, trees that are much more secure and stable. But also, try to get into the tree line. Don't necessarily be out next to the field or out next to the lake that will potentially hit more wind. Same thing with your tent. If you can get inside the tree line, high winds inside of the forest is still just a breeze inside the canopy, right?
And these are other things I'm thinking of, too. There is a couple secluded areas where we're thinking about going. Problem is they're in lower-lying gullies. So now I got to balance out that I don't want to flood us out, but I don't want to be in the wind either. But once again, wind should not play a major problem for this outing. Not as of this point. We are going to reassess tomorrow night. That's Thursday night. Maybe even push it as late as Friday night.
So, if I remember correctly, if as you're driving in and looking towards the lake, on the left-hand side, behind the outhouse, but not like immediately behind, like in that quarter of the area, there was a couple of fairly large open flat spaces. I
Yeah.
don't know if they would tend to stay dry, but there was a couple of small dead trees in there. You could easily clear that out. But if I remember, there wasn't much growing there, and you could possibly get back there. That would be sheltered from the winds and stuff, possibly high enough to not worry about flooding, and you might have an access there.
And the other side of this is I'm taking the truck. I can always park the truck on the wind side. You know what I mean? Set the tent up on the block side of the truck, and that'll offer quite a bit of protection.
Definitely. And obviously try to make sure there's a barrier, or you can erect a barrier against the most wind. The other thing you can do to help, and this is a combined thing, and I've often done this with tents, if you have a big enough tarp or even another tarp, add that over the top of your tent as an additional windbreak slash rain, and it creates a barrier. And they can work together to kind of protect themselves a bit. The tarp will take the brunt of it anyways. And so that'll help you.
No, 100%. And I'm just noticing, Ben, we somehow, for a topic that I expected us to talk maybe 30, 35 minutes on, a quick topic,
Filled
we're coming up
an
on our
hour.
hour, man. So.
Very good. So you want to cut that off here?
I think so. Like I said, this was more one of those philosophical conversations about a whole bunch of questions you got to ask yourself. And I mean, there is no right answer to this, folks. It's going to depend so much on who you're going with, the gear you're taking, how you're getting there. There are so many factors that come into this. There is no right answer to this question. The whole point of this was get you thinking about it. What are the things that are important to you that's going to dictate when enough is enough? To me, like I said, from the get-go, if it's Ben and I, there probably is no. We are going to push each other to the extremes. One, because we push each other. Two, neither of us wants to give up before the other one. And three, like I said, we know we're each capable in the woods, and if something goes wrong, we have that extra skill set behind us. Now, that's not going to be the same as if I take people that I've never been in the woods with. Then I'm going to be a lot more cautious, and my limits are going to be reduced significantly. If I'm going by myself, it's going to be reduced significantly compared to if I was going with Ben or somebody else. If I'm driving up versus I got to walk in. Like, these are all important things that we talked about. We want you folks to think about too. Don't necessarily just give up at the first, it's supposed to rain, we're not going. Well, why? What is that rain really going to do to you? Because if it's just rain, there's ways around that. We talked about that. So look at the other factors.
The only last thing I want to add, and it's just a minor thing, should you decide to go, and should the weather get really bad, and should you get to the point where you are no longer comfortable, know when it's time to uproot and get the hell out of there.
We always say safety, and with everything I talked about here tonight, I've mentioned I have three, if not four, backup plans. I got backup plans to backup plans.
So if in the middle of the night your shelter system is failing and it's absolutely miserable out, then at that point things aren't going to get better. There are things you can do to secure it. Maybe go out and put extra guidelines to each of the points so you can have two coming off a point instead of a single. Things like that you can reinforce. But if at some point you realize none of this is going to work, pack up. Grab what you can safely and get the hell out of there. And then you can come back the next day and get what's left or sleep in your vehicle. I've seen you sleep in your vehicle. I have slept in my vehicle. It's a much more secure location. And then deal with it in the morning. Do not at some point say, no, I'll just deal with it, because what will possibly happen is you'll lose a lot more gear. And at the very least, you'll be much more miserable. And at the absolute worst, maybe something gets injured. And or you absolutely are terrified to do it again. So try to avoid that. So if you know when to bail, bug out and get the hell out of there, consider that a win and show that you've learned your limits and you can go and do it again because you know how to get out of there if things go wrong.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, Ben. Always keep safety in mind, folks. And I think with that's probably a great note to leave on, Ben.
Awesome. Okay, buddy. Talk to you later. And everyone else out there, get out there, have fun, be safe, and let us know how it goes.
Have a good night, everybody. Hope we got you thinking.